folks, you'll know why I'm talking over the top of it when I introduce my studio guest. It's a big night for music in the city. That Petrol Emotion are back. How do you put them in a box? Was it pop? Was it punk? Was it indie? I don't know, but the man in the studio certainly should do. Ahead of their first Derry gig in years and years and years, the singer from That Petrol Emotion, Steve Mack, is with me. Steve, good to see you. You're very welcome to Radio Foilman.
Ah, well, thank you for having us in.
How good is that?
It's pretty good for two chords. What do you think?
Wow, wow. Steve, I mean, the Electric Picnic gig sort of put you guys back on the map. I mean, it wasn't... I mean, obviously, Undertones, we could talk about this, the whole sort of paths of the two bands with the O'Neills and stuff over the years. What was it like for you guys getting up on that stage?
It was absolutely magic. Putting this back together, it's like you're throwing a party and you're not sure if anybody's going to show up. And so we didn't really know whether anybody was going to be there at the picnic to see us play. And when we walked out and 5,000 people roared, you know, it's just like this surge of energy comes pulsing through you. And, you know, we put on a really great show. So it was fabulous.
What was it? Punk, pop, indie, what was it?
You know, that's the hardest question to ask a musician. What is your music like?
Did it have to have a genre? I suppose it didn't.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, over here we say we're a pop band. In America, that has a really negative connotation. People think, you know, nasty. So I say rock over there. You know, the cab driver on the way down asked me, what's it like? I said, I jump up and down rock and roll.
Simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's great music, great songs, and it makes people want to dance. So.
Tell us about Raymond, because Raymond was a key figure and is a key figure in a band. But if Six Doors Up the Street's here. What is it about every great band that comes out of Derry has somebody from Six Doors up the bloomin' street? I mean, it was a remarkable story, even the way it came together with the O'Neills and Raymond and everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's funny, between that and Seattle, you know, how we got together. It's just this bizarre story. How did they find me from Seattle? Why were they in London on the right day to talk to the right waitress and the right restaurant? And it was complete Cinderella story for myself. And I don't know, there was something in the water, because why, you know, guys over here and myself over in Seattle just happened to be listening to the Velvet Underground and Television and Captain Beefheart at the same time. It's, you know, it's a credible story.
Yeah, well, I mean, people might not have heard. Tell us more about that story. I mean, the meeting of sort of astrological paths in life, you know.
Well, I was traveling around Europe and ended up working in a pizza restaurant. You know, here I have my college degree, and what am I doing? I'm bussing tables, of course. And the boys went over to London to record a single, and were sort of shopping around for a singer and hadn't had any luck.
And at that stage, was it That Petrol Emotion?
Yes, it was.
It was, okay.
It was That Petrol Emotion. And in fact, they had a deal with a record label over there called Creation, but the Creation record deal fell through, so they found another record label to put it out.
So Creation as in Oasis Creation?
As in the same, yes.
Okay.
They actually decided that they couldn't put the record out because they had just put the first Jesus and Mary Chain record out and said, look, we're going to be busy for the next 6 months with this record, can't do yours. But the guys were ready to put a record out, so they went with another small label called Pink Records instead.
And where were John and Damien O'Neill at this stage? I mean, the Undertones was a thing of the past at this stage, so where were they at?
Well, John was writing with Raymond and had been writing with Raymond ever since Raymond was DJing at a club up here that Raymond was DJing at, and he heard Raymond DJing and said, look, we have to write songs together. Mm-hmm. So they actually put together a whole, basically the first album's worth of material, drafted in Kieran had a couple of more songs to the thing. Damien heard about it and said, I want to be in the band. They said, well, you can be in the band, but you can't play guitar. We already have two. He said, fine, I'll play bass.
I would be in a band with the O'Neills playing guitar.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Exactly.
John on one side of David, fantastic. And what were they telling you about your presence, about your voice, Steve? What were they telling you? What were they looking, what were they wanting?
It was, you know, they were very, very tight-lipped, and furthermore, I couldn't tell you what they said because I couldn't understand their accents. I was in the band 6 months before I knew what Kieran's name was, because I kept asking him. He would go, Kieran! And I just thought, I'm not sure what that is, so I'll just go, hey, I'll make sure I catch your eye before I start speaking.
But interesting, because Kieran the drummer, I mean, John then steps aside in the band, and Kieran then has to come to the fore, and lo and behold, he plucks that tune out of the ether, and suddenly the songwriting sort of collective takes place more in the band, right or wrong?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we were at a spot where we didn't know what we were going to do. Raymond, of course, had already been writing quite a few songs, and him and Kieran just sort of stepped right up and started writing really great pop hits. How that happened, I don't know, whether they were taking their vitamins in the morning or what, but, you know, it was exactly what we needed at the time.
But busy guys and Damien and John then find their way back in the Undertones. How does it work for you when it's no longer a teenage thing, when it's no longer a 20-something thing, Steve? Coming back to it as guys with your own life paths, probably your own families, all that, what's that like?
I mentioned it as I came in. It's like time travel. The funny thing is, the first thing we got in a rehearsal room together, and the first thing we started doing, we did, was start arguing, you know, about the same things. You're playing too loud. No, I'm not. And I just thought, wow. You know, you put the same five guys in the room and the chemistry reappears, which is a blessing and a curse. Mm. Because on the one hand, it's like, yeah, we were bickering about the same things. But at the same time, once we started playing those chords to that song, you just get this rush of like, wow, this is why we did this for 10 years. This is fantastic.
I know you're back in the band and stuff. Tell us about John O'Neill. I mean, a very underspoken kind of guy, a guy who would never even stand at the front of the band, never mind the front of anything, you know, but... What's your take on John O'Neill?
Lovely man. I can't tell you. I love him so much. You know, when I joined the band, he took me under his wing, and I was nervous. I'd never been in a band before, and they just threw me in the studio. Yeah, you're singing this. And John was always very good to take me aside and said, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, you've never been in a band before. I thought maybe they had heard you playing in other crazy bands and stuff, and then said, oh, that could be the guy for us. No?
No.
How do they even know you're a singer?
I lied.
Wise up. Did you?
I jumped up on stage at a party once in my own house and sang a couple of Monkees covers, and a friend said, you should be in a band. You should sing. And I said, you know, it hadn't even dawned on me at the time. I was, you know, finishing up my college, didn't know what I was going to do. And it just so happened that when I was working in this pizza restaurant, the waitress was dating a friend of the band. And she just came to work one day and she said, you know, I know these really nice guys. They're looking for a singer. And I just said, I sing. She said, no. I said, yeah, I do. I sing. And she hadn't told me the Undertones connection yet. At the end of the night, she mentioned that a couple of them used to be quite famous. You ever heard of the Undertones? And, of course, I had all their records. So at that point, I was on my knees, like, give me a phone number. And she said, don't worry, I'll hook you up. And
let me pull you back to, sorry, I interrupted you with the John O'Neill thing. Talk about this man's writing. Steve, it is always driven by huge, big guitar sounds. I mean, not dissimilar. I can hear Teenage Kicks, you know, the sort of legacy of Teenage Kicks, even in that riff. Talk about his writing. How does he strike you as a writer? Where do you think his writing comes from?
You know, I don't know. And when he comes to the band, or when he used to come to the band with songs, they would be, you know, he would just kind of mumble the lyrics, and he would never write more than a couple of lines. Then he would either hand it to Raymond, or on some occasions hand it to me, and said, I finish off the lyrics. And he would play, and the riff, it would seem just so simple, and you'd go, where's that going to go? What are we going to do with that? And we'd start to bash it out in the rehearsal space, and then we'd look around at each other and go, wait a minute, there's really something here. So there's something in his brain that just makes him write these things. You know?
But it's interesting. I mean, you say, when we were coming in there, you're saying, I mean, not what we just heard, that's two chords. I mean, you could teach an 8-year-old kid that riff in 10 minutes on a guitar.
And he does often.
But you know what I mean? But it's not to diminish it in any sense, Steve. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hearing two chords.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, pop music, almost by definition, has to be simple. Or if there is complexity, it has to be hidden. You know, if you listen to a really good pop song, you'll find that there are little twists, and as songwriters, we listen and go, oh, listen to the way they did that. But to most people, they hear just a couple of notes, and they can hum it in the shower, and they go, wow, great.
So what you were saying there about sort of understanding and sort of translating the Derryisms or whatever for you coming into a band, essentially of Derryman, how have they adapted to you as the sort of the Washingtonian, the sort of Pacific Northwest American in the band? How have they embraced you?
Well, I will. One story that was funny is you know, in Seattle, we do it with big guitars, and we jump out of the audience. And, you know, we're very, very emotive when we play music. So when I first joined the band, John actually took me aside and said, listen, we're quite serious. We'd prefer it if you don't jump up and down so much. And I said, yeah, okay. I was so excited to be in the band, I thought, yeah, I can dial it back a little. Well, I couldn't. So after about the third gig, John pulled me aside again, and I was, you know, had a couple of beers, and I just exploded in the van and just screamed at them. I said, if you don't want me to jump up and down, then you need to find another singer, because I can't do it any other way.
So you stood up to them, in a sense?
Yeah. Dutch courage, you know.
But I mean, you must be very proud, because you're saying, I bluffed to get in the band, essentially. I was a rookie singer. You must be, you know, that the A, that they bought you, and B, that it worked. That must be a very proud thing for you.
yeah, Yeah, well, I mean, you know, life's about taking risks, right? You need to, if a door opens, you go through it. You know, you don't sit back and think about it. Mm-hmm. And we've done that throughout our entire careers. You know, we were unafraid to approach dance music when nobody else was. We were unafraid to approach samplers when nobody else was doing it. Now, of course, our timing wasn't ideal. We fell on our face a number of times. We shot ourselves in the foot. But we learned a lot, and our songwriting got better because of it.
Full gig tonight, no holds barred. Are you allowed to jump around tonight, or what, in Derry? Like,
as a matter of fact, I am allowed to jump. Yes.
You've earned the stripes, my friend.
I have.
Jump where you want to jump. Steve, good luck tonight. Tell us, I want to play this song in its entirety. Tell us your take on Hey Venus.
It is quite possibly one of my favorite all-time Petrol songs, and it's the song that we generally play the first time we get back together, because it's just, we know the minute we start playing it, it's going to make us all feel good and want to play more.
That Petrol Emotion are in the Nerve Center tonight. Steve Mack, thank you.
Thank you.